Good morning again.
Good morning. Good morning.
Our scripture this morning comes from the fifth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, the seventh verse, and it reads, "Blessed are those who are merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Thanks be to God. May the meditations of my mouth and mind and our time spent together in your holy name be pleasing to you, O Lord. Amen. A few weeks ago, my partner, Peter, and I, and our very beloved dog, Finn, drove home from Chicago to New Haven. Like all long-haul drives, it had its moments. In particular, we came to a left-hand turn in Indiana that required crossing four lanes of traffic. Being the somewhat anxious people-pleaser that I am and can be, I always dread when someone pulls up behind me as I'm about to make that left-hand turn. I worry that I'm holding someone up in my deliberation. Sometimes, my cautious driving earns some frustrated honks. Safety first, folks. But on this occasion, as I looked for the opening across four lanes and anxiously checked my rearview mirror, two cars stopped in those lanes, and then two more in the remaining lanes. And then one person flashed their high beams and waved me on. I crossed that busy Indiana road with limited anxiety and no irritated honking. A major success for me. Because one person, and then another, and then another, and then another, showed a little mercy. And for those 30 seconds, maybe a little bit more than that, you know, slow, cautious driver, takes me a little while to turn, a small community was created, initiated by a choice that those people didn't necessarily have to make. They helped me on my way. As we continued on our drive, it occurred to me that if we expand this to daily life, the mercy of left-hand turns is really a practice of paying attention to the road we're on, to the road that we're all on together. When we're paying attention, when we're truly tuned in, the opportunities for us to show mercy are endless. And in paying attention, we are made that much more aware of all of the ways that we, in turn, are all shown mercy. The wonderful Marilynne Robinson, author of Gilead, writes, "This is an interesting planet, and it deserves all the attention you can give it." In large part, I believe our attention comes to form our intention, and our intention turns into action. So, I have three questions this morning. What are you paying attention to? How are you practicing mercy? How are you being shown mercy? So, what are you paying attention to? What catches your eye? What holds your heart? Only you can know these things, and only you can adjust them. Your attention becomes the guiding arrow for your energy, and your energy, coupled with thought, determines your actions. So, just one more time. What are you paying attention to? And how does it influence your intention? Now, the harder stuff. The practice of mercy. I call it the practice of mercy because, like the practice of medicine, it isn't one size fits all. It isn't always prescriptive, and it usually isn't easy to diagnose or to decide what to do. I'm often caught in that middle space where I want to do the work of mercy, but I just don't know what's called for because the situation is complicated. What does mercy look like for the young man who holds a sign asking for change along my exit as I get off of 91? I can tell you what research says is the best response to folks like that with similar experiences. What social anthropologists think about asking for money and how we should react. But that doesn't tell me much about what mercy looks like to that young man. And the last thing I want to do in those situations is make it worse. To add to the challenge, mercy might not always look like, well, mercy. Sometimes it looks like accountability. Sometimes it looks like tough love. Sometimes it might even look a little harsh in the moment. It might not feel great on either end. A few months ago, a friend who wasn't doing well in college reached out to ask if he could live with us for a while. He wouldn't be able to pay rent because he didn't have a job and would likely have some trouble getting one. He didn't have a peer group in our community aside from us, and that probably would have been pretty isolating. But those weren't our reasons for saying a loving no. While we can't know for certain, he probably wouldn't have been very happy. But again, that wasn't our reason for saying a loving no. It simply would have been an escape for him. It wouldn't have been a deep or a real mercy. Instead, we told him we believed in him and that we would help set up a system for him to get his schoolwork done gradually so that he could stay in college. Saying no hurt. It hurt because being a place of sanctuary is the hope we've built our home around. And this was our friend, my friend. And I was denying him that same sanctuary. There were tears and a tense car ride. And there was a challenging discussion. There have been several challenging discussions. Mercy usually isn't a one-off. It's a commitment to maintain your attention to the things that matter. For my friend, allowing him to run away from something hard wasn't where mercy was. It wasn't easy. It probably looked and certainly felt harsh. But now he is one semester closer to a degree, and he knows he can do hard things, and he knows he has people who believe in him enough to push him into his fullest self. Mercy wasn't doing what he'd asked of us. It was something entirely different and much harder and not what usually comes to mind when you picture mercy lived out. But then, sometimes, mercy looks exactly like you might expect it to. Sometimes the cliches match up and mercy is handing out warm beverages to disaster workers in the rain. It is no less of a mercy because it is simple. Though, it is when mercy is most difficult that we must go back to Christ's beautiful and countercultural message of love above all else. Where judgment of another or pulling back from a relationship seems the easier choice, consider where the attention is, where your attention is. Are you being a disciple of God, as Paul spoke of? Is your attention on the particular thing someone has done, or is it on the person? In the words of Bryan Stevenson, author of Just Mercy, proximity has taught me some basic and humbling truths, including this vital lesson. Each of us is so much more than the worst thing we've ever done. I think that one bears repeating. Each of us is so much more than the worst thing we have ever done. Take a breath and sit with that for a moment. How's that for mercy? If our attention is on our relationships, we are far better able to see beyond the things done and much better able to see the person in that relationship. This one is hard, y'all. Maybe it's just me, or maybe you've experienced this once or twice too, But I can pretty quickly boil down someone to the one thing that I know about them, usually to the worst thing that I happen to know about them. And maybe that's the only thing that I know about them. And how unfortunate is that? How unfair is that? But it's easy to do. I do it with people on the news, in popular media, on social media, across all other contexts too. My attention falters, and I lose, we lose, the beautiful and holy three-dimensional person who is so much more than just that one thing they've done wrong. And here's the thing about mercy. However big that one thing might be, it is nowhere near as big or as vast as God's love for that person, or as God's love for us. As for mercy shown to you, you're the experts on that score. But the first question can tell us a lot about the mercy we know and the mercy we might be missing. Where are we paying attention? What left-hand turns has life thrown us that felt a little less anxiety-provoking, a little less lonely, or were made somehow easier by the mercy of somebody else? It is incredibly easy to forget that mercy surrounds us. It is even easier to forget that we, simply by being, are people of mercy. We are children of God. So keep looking for the quiet everyday mercies, those left-hand turns, both literal and figurative. Because mercy, the mercy of Christ, is as deep and as wide and as long as any of us can dare to imagine. And it abides in us. When we let someone make that left-hand turn during rush hour, when we acknowledge that the person in front of us might be struggling in ways we might never know about, when we remember that we're all so much more than the worst thing we've ever done, when we let mercy become a practice of paying attention, of tuning in, of asking, where am I going to find an opportunity to practice mercy today? Where am I going to see it? How is it going to feel? We allow ourselves to be precisely what God has called us to be. It is easy to pay lip service to mercy. It is easy to stand here and encourage us all to reflect on the moments when there was a missed opportunity for mercy. And it's easy to think that it requires some grand gesture. But generosity and grace can't be measured, because you cannot measure the sacred. You see, mercy doesn't have a scale. It has holy hope. And that holy hope changes us the same way what we're paying attention to changes us. And being on the receiving end of mercy changes us. In it, we are reminded that even in our deepest valleys, the places where shadows dwell for us, others arrive to be merciful light, to be that very hope which reminds us all that Christ willingly gave love and mercy without cost to us. This, the mercy we are called to pay attention to and to practice, this is what we're called to. As Maya Angelou said, they may not remember what you said or did, but people will remember how you made them feel. The gesture doesn't need to be big in order for the mercy to be felt. The light doesn't have to shine perfectly in order for it to provide a guide out of the valley. Sometimes mercy is really hard. Sometimes it asks more of us than we think we possibly have to give. Sometimes it goes awry. Sometimes it's pretty and wonderful and life-giving and everything we hope it will be. Sometimes it's letting go. Mercy is a posture of the heart, a stance toward the world, a practice of attention and intention combined to create a way of living. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. May we lean into that mercy. May we pay attention to it, practice it, and embrace it. For it is a blessing like no other. Amen.
Our God of love, that love that we feel in our hearts, that love that connects us one to another, and God of tangible love, expressed through our actions, through our giving, through our reaching out. We come to you today, taking time to rest our minds and our hearts and our souls and to be able to focus on your very real presence with us here and how we're a part of that. We come here and we open ourselves completely to you, for you to know us and for us to know you. And in this openness, we realize that you know us even better than we know ourselves, and you love every bit of us and want us to succeed and to thrive and to be well. And not just to be loved, but to share that. God, as the psalmist said, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down, you know when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely, for it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. We're so blessed to have been created by you, to be sustained by you with every heartbeat, with every breath, with every moment when we open our eyes to see anew, to have you as a part of our being. And we remember that everything that happens to us, God, happens to you, for we're one body, one mind, one soul, one spirit. We are part of the body of Christ. And so, when we are in need of strength and comfort, fairness, justice, healing, encouragement, we remember and we give you thanks that you've not left us, nor anyone in need, but you're always with us, you're always within us. When disease or sickness affects our body, might knock us down for a moment, remind us, we pray, that sometimes there's physical healing, and sometimes when our bodies are temporal and finite, devastation really can never ultimately touch our soul. And God, since you know all of our abilities as well as our limitations, you know that sometimes in our limitations, we misunderstand, we fail to get it right. But you never do. So may we continue to reach to your wisdom. And as we do, help us to quiet our inner distractions and to listen deeply, to give you time so that we may hear. And in our seeking to learn, may we understand. And in our seeking and our understanding, God, help us to ask not so much why me, or even why them, but God, what should I do now? How should I respond in a loving way? How should I respond in a faithful way, as you would have me? And in that, may I be a better disciple. So thank you, God, for loving us through every step of our lives and as we go forward this week. with realized and potential blessings and successes and heartbreaks. May we always keep you before us to lead our way, behind us to encourage, beside us and beneath us and above us and within us, as we remain strongly with you in all of it. With your Spirit, this we pray. Amen.